Okay, I want to read today, some of you have heard this scripture before, but you're going to hear a new aspect of it. I'm going to read from Matthew 6, 24, and then chapter 7, 7 to 12. No one can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, doors will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do it to them, for this is the law and the prophets. There's an urgency in my spirit today about preaching this message because I believe fully that we are entering into a time where the world and the values and the morality of the world are getting so dark. Things are changing so fast in the world. I also believe we're entering into a time where economically it's going to get difficult. There's been things happen which kind of delay economic fall away, but I believe we are coming into a place where economically it could be very, very challenging. And the Bible promises that if we're in the end times, these things will happen. Not only that, the church will be persecuted. Maybe we'll see, like people like Bonhoeffer, pastors have to go off to prison. The church will be persecuted in the end times. Also, it speaks about in the church, within the church, there will be a great falling away. And I believe the reason and the type of Christians, these are people in the church who will fall away, are people who've been taught a gospel which is focused on self, which is focused on man, which is not about we get recruited to God's kingdom and build his kingdom, but a God who will build our kingdom. So a God who will just bless me and empower me to become, you know, a mover and a shaker in my own right. A God who will help me fulfill my carnal desires. But it's all about me. And the Bible says there'll be false teaching of all this and a false kind of prosperity movement. And it's basically a crossless Christianity where you don't have to suffer. You don't have to be persecuted. It's a gospel where we just experience blessing, ease, and comfort because we are God's children. And when that doesn't happen, when persecution hits, and when real trouble strikes the church, it says that many will fall away. And I believe we'll see that shortly. The Bible also speaks that in the midst of that, God promises a church which is victorious, a church, a people who, while that's all happening, are still very hopeful and full of joy. They have a joy that the world, it's a mystery to the world. They have a hope, a positivity in the midst of darkness. It's a mystery why these people are opposite to other people. That's Bible promises. A joyful church in the midst of persecution. And that joyful church, even that church, will be comprised of two types of people. There'll be people who are joyful and victorious because they have prophetic insight into the world. The Bible says in the end times, those who understand, those of understanding will understand, because the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. There'll be people in the church filled with the Holy Spirit, and He is the Spirit of joy, filled with understanding of what is happening in the world, not shaken, and with a vision of Christ coming again as their King, and they know it's around the corner. They know what's going on. They have eyes to see, prophetic insight, walking in a realm that the common man can't know, in a joy that is hidden to those people outside of the kingdom. You know, just under that I'll say, you can be in church every Sunday but be outside the kingdom. The Bible speaks about the number of places, things like the virgins, that when the virgins in the scriptures, they have no oil. And when the crisis hits, they ask the wise. They ask the wise, you see something, we can't. And they ask them for oil so we can have prophetic, but it's too late. Just like there came a time, and it comes a time where Noah's door, the ark was opened, but there came a time where that door was shut. And people were asking to get in then, but they couldn't. In this time, when things get difficult, God has promised, particularly in times of economic shaking, GFCs, whatever it may be, God has promised that you and I, His people, will be uncommon. Firstly, we will know no lack. Secondly, we'll be joyful. And this scripture teaches us that this principle of God's provision, which is a miraculous provision, it's provision from God Himself. It's a provision released by the hand of God that no man can stop. But that provision comes by faith. And it's a supernatural provision. Do you believe God wants to provide for you supernaturally? Yes, we do. I hope we do. And so God wants you to stay joyful. God does not want you to be angry in the midst of whatever's happening. This scripture teaches us, and it says, God knows about all your material needs. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap into their barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? So he says, the birds are not fed by man. They don't have a job, but God provides for them. And the lilies, they don't have a job. They don't have a tailor, but God clothes them. And he says, God wants you to know that He cares enough about you that He will do the same. He Himself will clothe and feed you. And you don't have to worry about. How many people worry, spend so much time worrying about food, about where I'm going to live, about shelter, about tomorrow? A lot of people spend a lot of effort worrying, right? And God says, you don't have to worry about that. I myself, your Father, will provide all those things for you. No matter what is happening in the world, no matter what the world's going through, I will look after you. But there is a condition. Verse 32, the condition is this. Well, it really starts at verse 31. It says, therefore, do not worry. Who knows? Worrying is from the family of fear. And that's how the enemy always keeps you out of the victories of God, the promises of God, the goodness of God, is by moving you into the family of fear, which blocks off the opportunity to faith to be active. And faith is a victory. So he says, first of all, don't worry about that sort of stuff. After these things, the Gentiles, they seek. But your heavenly Father, he knows you need this. But here it is. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And this part of the scripture is from, it's a block from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus is speaking in the midst. He's saying a Christian, he speaks about what a kingdom Christian looks like. And he speaks about the Beatitudes, blessed are the humble, blessed are the meek. And he encourages us to be humble and meek. And he says, blessed are those who are persecuted. So you'll be persecuted. That's what a kingdom Christian looks like. You'll be attacked by your enemies. Blessed are, pray for your enemies, he says. So he speaks about his kingdom, how God's kingdom, it's someone said today, it's not a cushy ride. It's a people that are promised that there will be persecuted, there will be enemies. But he says, nevertheless, in the midst of that, you will be salt and light in the world. That there'll be, in the midst of darkness, you'll shine. The life of Jesus will be seen in you, and you'll be like your life will be like a lighthouse. People will come to you and get saved from destruction. That's what you're going to be like in the midst of the darkness. And you're going to be like salt. Salt preserves, and salt brings healing to things that are wounded and wounds. And he says, that's what you're going to be like. That's what kingdom people are like. And that's what life will be like for a kingdom person. There will be difficulties, but you'll overcome. But you'll be attacked, but you'll bless your enemies. A kingdom person will be humble, all that. And then he says at the end, he says, that person of the kingdom will be provided for by God, no matter what. But the condition of that promise to live in God's provision and God's supply is conditional, Jesus said, on what I call the power of priority. Jesus said, don't worry about the things that the Gentiles run after, but seek first the kingdom and righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. So he's saying, for people who prioritize their relationship with God, serving God, pleasing God, for people who that, being fruitful for God, for people who, those people, that is the core, that is the first thing in your life, everything else will be added. Now I want to say, there's a tendency in the church today to reduce God from that place of priority where he is the number one to another place. I was at a meeting the other day, I said, and many people were talking about the need. You know, the church today needs to have shorter services. We need to get our people in and out an hour and 15 minutes. We need to shrink worship and give them a bite-sized message because people are busy. Friends, that is not a statement about busy. That's a statement about priorities. And it impoverishes the church because it says that you can have other priorities, you can have other things in your life which are more important than the things of God, and God's still going to bless you. And I want to tell you, it's a false gospel. It's the start of a false gospel. Adrian Maslow was a famous psychiatrist in the 60s, and he wrote this book that became famous. It was called Maslow's Hierarchy, and it spoke about all the needs a human being has. And a human being's first need is for food. His second need is for shelter. His third need is for self-esteem. His fourth need is for a partner. All these things. It's a list. It's called Maslow's hierarchy of human need. And all of us have those things. And the whole world lives with that hierarchy as the primary thing. They live with their whole life is focused. My job. I need to have the best job. My job is the most important thing. Getting material things. Making sure I've got these material things. Of course, they're real needs. We all have them. But Jesus called these people to be an uncommon, a peculiar people. And I spoke to someone recently, and I called them to be involved in something in the church. I said, I see a gift. It's not in this church, but I see a gift in your life, and I believe God has graced you for this, and you need to move into this ministry. And I'm not speaking about anyone here, I repeat. But this person said, I would love to do that, but I'm too busy with my business. And as I spoke to him, I realized his mentality was that his business was the thing and that God's job was to bless his business. But his business wasn't necessarily anything to do with the kingdom. It was just his business. What God says, he says, you only come into this supernatural source of provision where you make your relationship with me. My work, building the church, saving souls, delivering the broken, when you make that the ruling factor of your life, it's the main thing. And someone once said that the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. And we're going to be very, very careful because the Bible speaks about all the things that we can receive the word can be in us. But things that make that word unfruitful, and one of the things is the worries of this world can choke that word. And I'm fully sympathetic with people. You're going to put food on the table. You're going to clothe your kids, all these things. But I want to tell you, God cares about those kids. God cares about your needs more than you do. And he wants to provide for you. But it only comes through faith. It only comes by being a peculiar people. It only comes, supernatural things, only come through believing the word of God. And you know the importance of keeping the things of God first is so powerful. I could take you through a million scriptures. And miracles happen all through the power of priority. They happen for a people who burn to serve God, who have prioritized their life, who have made choices. And sometimes we've got to take our diary out and simply say, if we're too busy, it's not a statement of busy, it's a statement of priorities. We've actually got to say, if I'm too busy to get up and meet with God, if I'm too busy to serve and to get involved in the life of the church, if I'm too busy, I'm going to cost myself the miraculous hand of God in my life. I'm going to cost myself miracles. And we need to start putting lines through certain things. Because when you say, sorry, Pastor, I've seen this over and over again. When someone says, sorry, Pastor, I can't because I'm too busy. And I'm fully aware that people are busy. I believe you sow the seed of lack into whatever area of life you're going to prioritize over God. You sow the seed of lack. And it's you know, it's the same with some people will say to me, Pastor, I can't be at church on Sunday because of this or that reason. Now, a reason, I know some people, you can only get jobs where they, you know, make you work certain days. But other people say, I'm too tired or I'm too, that is a priority statement. You can sleep at other times. That's a priority statement. And it will keep you ultimately at a miraculous provision of God. It's very, very important we understand what prioritizing God requires. Other people have said to me, You know, and I understand the pressure of this. I've got a daughter who was very good at soccer. And she wanted to play girls' soccer that's only on a Sunday. I said, we don't do that. And I've taught her. We put God first. We put the worship of God. Sunday is for God. It's the first fruits. It shows God. He's our priority. We move everything out of the way for God. And His hand provides for us. And I'm going to tell you, this scripture, I'm not teaching it as a theory. I've tested God. The area of provision is the one part of the Bible God says, test me in this. I've walked out of a church and had no money, no job. I've had a mortgage and three children to provide for. I've had that. God took it all. And I lived better than I did when I had a salary. Why? Because God is on the throne of our lives. You know, I'll say this. In the scriptures, to have something, you say, and I'm not being harsh here, I'm trying to get an important principle because so many Christians miss out on this. To say God is important to me, but He's number two. I have something that takes more of my time, more of my energy. I can't pray. I can't serve Him because of this thing. The Bible calls that thing, whatever it may be, an idol. And idols bring death. If we worship an idol, it says in Psalm 135, those things are dead and so are those who worship them. If we live and look to the risen Christ, He imparts life, supernatural life, but idols impart death. So what do we need? What do we need to keep God as the prize? I know we've got needs, and I know sometimes it can be a little bit intimidating to think, well, I've got to trust God. I've got all these bills, and I've got all these, got to feed, I've got to clothe, and I've got to pay the rent. What do we need to make sure that God's hand of provision is over our lives? First of all, I want to say it requires courage. Courage and faith are sort of similar. But Jesus says, before He says, seek first the kingdom, He says, verse 31, do not worry. So we actually have to say, okay, the rest of the world is going to tell me I need to put the things of man or other things first. And then if I trust God, a lot of people are going to say it's foolish. So I actually need to say, I make a choice. I am not going to worry. I am not going to be anxious. I'm going to cast it all onto God. I'm going to trust Him. And that actually requires in us a choice. We actually have the choice to reign over fear. There's all types of fear. Anxiety is just one member of the family. But we need to reign over it. We need to say, I'm going to trust God. And when the enemy tries to put fear and doubt in my heart, you're going to say you're going to starve, you're going to go broke. I'm making a choice. I'm not going to be anxiety. I'm not going to be moved by fear. I'm not going to run around. I'm actually going to stand there and trust God. And the person who does that, you know, the person who has God as the priority, He's their priority. He's first in your morning time. First part of your day you give to Him. He's first in your financial life. You'll never argue about tithing. You're just joyful to give Him first. He's first in everything. What will God do? What will God do if I make Him first? If I make a choice to say, God, I'm going to make You what I call my holy obsession. I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to just live for You. I'm going to live that the most important thing in my life is sustaining and maintaining my relationship with You, hearing Your voice, being fruitful for You, building Your church, witnessing to other people, being fruitful. That becomes my core, my job. and everything else revolves around that. It just supports that. That's why I live. It's the ruling factor in my life. I call it the sellout. What will God do for you? What does the scripture say? I'll tell you what he'll do for you. He'll prosper you in the midst of persecution. He will prosper you. God's word is full of people like Joseph and Daniel. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of the darkness of Babylon, Daniel, who would not bow down to idols, who was even willing to go in the fire for God, all the way through it says he got promoted and he got promoted and he got promoted until he became prime minister. God will bless you. He will resource you. You know, there's so few people that actually live like this. God is actually looking for people that want to build his kingdom, not he build theirs. And when he finds one, he says, I'm going to make you a target. If you really want to build my kingdom, if you really want to advance my, you really want to witness and evangelize and be fruitful, I'm going to give you everything you need. Because if that's God's purpose, why wouldn't he give us everything we need? That's what he does. Everything we need. See these? Some people say things like, one of the fellows that I was meeting with the other day, he made the point, he said, look, people are busy. And why we got to give them hour and 15-minute services is because they've got to go and visit Dad. And they've got to mow the lawn. They've got to take their family to lunch. And I said, I realize all that. But I've experienced this. What God does, if you put him first, he supernaturally increases your time. If you stay and worship God, if you say, well, I've got 5 hours on Sunday available, and I've got all these things to do, whatever, or I can't afford to go to church. I tell you, you're sowing the seed for a bad day. But if you come, it's not just about church, but it's about giving God what is God's due. The scriptures say, do not forsake. Do not forsake the congregating of the saints. If you say, actually, okay, we've got a lot of things to do, but church is first. I want to tell you, God will supernaturally get involved. He'll multiply your time. If Dad needs visit, you'll find someone else went and visited Dad that day and he did a better job than you did. Miraculously, he gets involved. He's saying there's a source, there's a supply, there's an activity from heaven. There's something that's going to happen in the invisibles for people. Angels will get involved for people who keep me first. And I want to tell you, this is one of the hardest things to do. Is to keep God first. You say he's first. And then maybe your business, I have sympathy for people. Their business starts to come under pressure. Something's not happening. And you think, I've got to give that more time and I've got to steal more time. I've got to steal the time from giving God what the Bible says to give him. I want to tell you, that has to be fought. I know there's a fear, there's a real thing that happens when you think, oh, this is not happening. But I tell you, when you actually say, I've got to take from the things of God to support my kingdom, what you're doing, you're actually being moved by fear, not faith. You're moving by fear and that never ever will be blessed. Never can be blessed because he's Lord of all or he's nothing at all. And so we've got to keep him as the center. Now Matthew 6 leads. There's a little passage on Matthew 7 about don't judge. It's just part of the kingdom teaching. But then it leads on to Matthew 7:7, and it says that these two passages fit together. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks will be opened. What man is there if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What's that speaking about? It's actually speaking about how these resources get released. and they all go together. It says God wants us to live in a place where we ask him. He says, you have not because you ask not. We ask him for our bread, our daily bread. And he gives it because he's our father. If my children ask for bread, I don't give them a stone. But it's all conditioned on the power of priority. And he says, or if he asks for fish, will that father give him a serpent? That speaks about fruitfulness, because we are to be fishers of men. So we're to be people who are so blessed by God, who are so in the center of God's focus, because our lives are all about him. And what do you need if your life is all about him? If you want to build his kingdom, I'll tell you what you need. You need money and you need souls. You need money to do the work and you need souls to be saved, to be fruitful. And he says, if here's the priority. You're going to come and ask for all the money you need and I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to come and you're going to ask for fish. And I'm not going to give you a serpent. I'm not going to let Satan make you ineffective. I'm going to give you fish. You're going to be fruitful. You're going to say, I have a God in heaven and I'm the apple of his eye. I'm the center of his focus. It's all about him. There's nothing I lack and I live in a supply that the world knows nothing of. I have a flow over my life that the world knows nothing of. And I want to tell you, I believe every single prayer you pray, if you're in the place where you say, God, my relationship with you, that's what it's about. Being fruitful for you, that's what I live for. Honoring you, representing you, bringing more people to you, to Jesus, that's what I live for. I want to tell you, that brings you to a place where every prayer you pray, believing it, is answered. Do you believe it? Every prayer. I just was reading about George Mueller. I read it again. I've read it, that book many, many times. And he said at the end of his life, he realized that every prayer he'd ever prayed, God had answered it. May not answer it when you want it answered. But every prayer, when it's about him, he answers. I'll just give you an example. I went to this place called Kota Kinabalu. The time where I had, this is where a time where I was walking by faith. This is my testimony. A man I used to know in Sydney came to me and he said, how long is it since you've had a holiday? I said, it's a long time. And he said, my wife and I are going to take you on a holiday. So he took us on a holiday to Malaysia. When we got to Malaysia, we got to the hotel. And he says, you're not going to stay with us because we don't want to cramp your style. So he put us in this lovely 5-star hotel. And he stayed up the road. And he said, we're not going to join you there. We're going to join you because this trip had two parts. We're going to go up to meet you up at a place called Kota Kinabalu, which is kind of more of a holiday area in Malaysia. He said, so you have a couple of days to get over the flight in Malaysia and in Kota Kinabalu, and we'll Kuala Lumpur, and then we'll meet you up at Kota Kinabalu. And when we got to our hotel in Malaysia, we got in there. We had 2 days to kill, or a day and a half to kill, before we flew off to Kota Kinabalu. We got there. There was a note for us with an envelope. And you know what was in the envelope? It was about $2,500 for spending money. I wasn't working. I didn't have an income. And then we got up to Kota Kinabalu. And we climbed the mountain of Kota Kinabalu. We stayed in the nicest hotel I've ever stayed in. And Ivan stayed down the road. That's God's provision. Now I'll tell you what happened then. When I was there, I said, this is all very well, God. But I don't want to go on vacations like the world does. I want to serve you. I want to be fruitful for you. And I distinctly remember being on Mount Kinabalu saying, I want you to send me here. You know what happened last week? We got invited, and I'm going on the 5th of July to do a crusade in Sabah, Malaysia, which is right in that area. God answered that prayer. It took 7 years, but he answered that prayer. I want to pray today. I want to pray for the church. I want to pray for our needs materially. God is building his church. God is positioning his church. God is calling his church to a full level of commitment at this time. And he's saying, I want to resource my church. And it's just, I know how easy this is. Michelle and I got to keep each other accountable. But it's very easy in this day and age where everyone's so busy to get in a place where God becomes number two. He's still important to you. But there are other things that are more important. Sometimes fear makes those other things more important. And the devil pushes us out of the way where we can actually receive blessing. Father, I lift up every person here today. And Father, you have a source of supply for us. You have a source of provision for us. And you've promised that we would never run out. You've promised that even if the world has depression, even if the world goes completely bankrupt, your people will not, Lord. Your people will be supplied. Your people will be provided for. Your people, Lord, will be fruitful. Your people will have a relationship with you where they ask in faith and they receive. Where they ask for their bread and it is provided by your hand. Where they ask for souls, for fish, and you give them those fish. Because, Lord, it is all about you. It is all about you. And Father, you said there would be a church. The end of days. That was once in that place. But they lost it. They lost their first love. Father Solomon, he built and he burned for you. But then he lost his first love. He loved women. Something got in and took the power of priority out of his life. I lift every person here today, Lord. Every person here today. Father, Holy Ghost, I ask that you help each person prioritize. I ask that you help each person write their diary. I ask you help each person to reign over anxiety and fear and to take your word, to claim your word, and to stand on your word until the heavens of provision are over our life. Father, I speak abundance where there is lack. Father, as people make you first, as people put you back into that place of first love, Father, I bless you that you will release abundance over them. You will pay bills supernaturally. You will make checks come into the mail, surprisingly. You will make people give to them. You will move the hands of those who hold the money to bless them, that your people will lack no good thing according to your word. No good thing shall we lack. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you're our Father and that you care for your children more than I care for mine. You are concerned for your children more than I am for mine. Keep us in that place of faith that we will be, no matter what happens in the world, Lord, no matter what happens in the world, your people will be overcomers, more than conquerors, according to your word. I lift up everyone who may be looking at bills here today, looking into the future, not knowing how they're going to provide. Father, touch them. Strengthen them. Bring them into this place. Bless them. In Jesus' name, I decree every need met today, according to the word of God. In Jesus' name, I decree that you will know no lack, according to the word of God, as he becomes your holy obsession, as he becomes your main thing. All lack, I push you down. We trample you down today in Jesus' name. We decree that you have no future. You have no place in the people's lives, according to the power and priority of the word of God. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus, for what you're doing. All the people said, amen, amen, amen.